We are looking at the first of 2 weeks on the topic of, I put it on my notes, actually not in yours. I should say in yours. Pots and greenhouses. A tzitz she'eino nakuf is a pot that does not have a hole in it. And when I say not have a hole, not only no hole in the bottom, but no hole in it at all, as we'll discuss. Other than, obviously, the plants growing upward. And chamamot are hothouses, which is a better term, really, than greenhouse, even though I'm going to keep on saying greenhouse realistically. But one of the things we're going to have to talk about is the question of what the roof is allowed to allow in order for it to be permissible during Shemitah. So that's actually probably the second week, not this week. But the question is, under what circumstances might one be allowed to do malacha, biblical or rabbinic, in a situation in which one is not actually planting in the ground? And in order to arrive at the popular heter, which is indeed used, we need to combine two different subjects. One is the issue of planting indoors, and two is the issue of planting in a receptacle that is separate from the ground. And those two things are not the same. Meaning planting indoors, it could theoretically be in the ground. Just, you know, you just have a structure over it. That's planting indoors. Planting is something that is separate from the ground is not necessarily indoors. In fact, if somebody plants in a garden that's on top of a roof, but it's exposed to the air, he can't work there during Shemitah. So what we're doing is we're combining two different points. Number one, the idea of planting in a medium that is separated from the ground. And number two, something that is under a roof. Potentially also within walls, and again, that's part of the conversation as well. Okay, so we begin by looking at the two subtopics separately. One, the issue of planting indoors, and two, the issue of planting in a receptacle that is separated from the ground. So, we begin with Yerushalmi in Arla. Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Yanai. Okay, in the source Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yanai, says, Ilan shenitao besoch habayis chayav be'arla. You plant a tree inside a house, you are still obligated to leave the first 3 years of produce. You can't use them, can't benefit from them. Upatu mena maisros, but you are exempt from maiser. Okay, so it has the law of arla. It does not have the law of truma maiser. Why? Or I say maiser here, actually. I'm not even going to get into the truma discussion because the pasuk is maiser specific. Dechsev aser ta aser is called tvas zarecha hayotze hasadeh. You tithe all of your produce that comes out in the field. So your inside the house is not called the field. They don't mention how you know it regarding arla, but they quote the pasukim regarding arla that the pasuk says eretz, and therefore it does apply. The Gemara here does not quote it explicitly. Ubishvias tsricha. But for shvita, tsricha. Now the word tsricha is a vague word. We don't know exactly what tsricha means, and we'll see there are multiple ways to take it. The way that it's normally taken is that it means this requires discussion. We're not sure what to do regarding shvita. Dichsiv, because on the one hand in Parshas Behar it says, Vishavsa ha'aretz Shabbat Lashem. The land shall rest for God, shall halt for God, and even your house is in the land. On the other hand, you have another pasuk that says, Sarchalos is Rav, Acharmachalos is more. Don't plant in the Sadeh. And it's not called a Sadeh, it's called a Bayis. It's called a house. It's actually, there's a classic medrash on Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov and their tefilos. Right? That the Avram davens to Hashem, and how does it work? Avram is the bayis, and Yitzchak is the sadeh, and Yaakov is the har. No, the other way around. His base elokim is Yaakov. So Avram is the har, Yitzchak is the sadeh, and Yaakov is the bayit, and bring Hashem progressively closer in your tefillah. Makes for a nice drasha material. But in any case, we're done with Zeva Gracious. The Yerushalmi seems to be asking a question regarding Shemitah's application within a house, and it seems not to answer.
Yeah. How is it a question? Because it says Sadecha.
Because it also says Eretz. Ha'aretz. You've got both.
So, how does that include a house?
Because your house is in the Eretz also. you have all sorts of psukim that indicate that. Yeah, the house is considered to be Eretz. As a matter of fact, take a look at what's going to come up here in source base. This is just a side note, but I thought it was an interesting side note and worth mentioning. The Rav David Lau had an article in Chilek Yudalid of Tchumen, the Sheilat HaChamamot U'matzim Menutakim B'Shvi'it. In the beginning of the article, he goes through something which I haven't seen anybody else make the precise distinction that he makes, although there's a similar idea that shows up in Rav Binyamin Zilber's Bris Olam, in Simen Aleph, Sivkat, and Kuf Yud Zayin, and Kuf Yud Chet, and in Rav Zilber's Hilchos Shvi'is, Aleph, Kuf Lamed Gimel. He has a similar idea. But take a look at what he does here. He's dealing with this Yerushalmi. He says, Pnei Moshe Piresh, the Pnei Moshe explained, Shana Tua V'Bayis Chayav Ba'arla, that which is planted in the house does have the laws of Arla. Kevin Sheba Arla Lok Siv Sadeh Ela Eretz. Right? And we take again, and he gives you the pasuk here, V'Chisabo El Ha'aretz Unetatem. So there's your Aretz pasuk. V'Choma Komasho Yenatua Ba'aretz, wherever in the Aretz it is planted, that's good enough. Aval. The bold, by the way, is Rabbi Lau's bold. The Hayotzei Asadeh, v'lo Hayotzei B'soch HaBayis, not that which emerges in the house. Le'inyin Shvi'is, mistapeka Yerushalmi. Kevin Shekasav HaChanomer B'shavsa HaAretz, v'kasav HaHacher Omer Sad Cholos Yisras, Yerushalmi is in Shurva, whom is Sakeim, his conclusion, the Pnei Moshe's conclusion is, Shemestama Yesh LaHachmir B'kach Misfeka. Since we don't know, Safik will go Lachumra. And therefore, the Pnei Moshe says, Shemitah will apply inside of a house because of the Safik. Vaharambam Pasak is Hadvar Lagabe Arla. Here's the interesting thing. When the Rambam presents the laws of Arla, he does bring this Lahalacha. Ulagabe Meiser, and when he brings the Meiser as well, so the Rambam rules that it's Chayiv and Arla and Pater from Meiser, Avomehecho Shemitah, he Shemitam Lagamre. Yeah, nice play on words there. He omits it from Hilchos Shmita. He doesn't discuss the status of planting in a house. And then he goes on to discuss the Pnei Moshe and why he likes or doesn't like what the Pnei Moshe has to say. But then he goes on to say, L'das ha-merkeves ha-mishnah. Within the view of the merkeves ha-mishnah is on Hilchos Shmita v'yovel, aleph, aleph. So within the view of the merkeves ha-mishnah, hanidon b'Yerushalmi hu iser nitiyah. The issue in the Yerushalmi is not the generic Shemitah issue, it's specifically about planting trees. Because that's the discussion in the Yerushalmi. It's Ilan Shnitah B'soch HaBayis. It's not all planting, it's tree planting. V'hol ul Rambam netia asur midirabbana. And according to the Rambam, planting trees is not one of your deoraisas in Shemitah, right? We went through our four deoraisas ad infinitum. Well, not ad infinitum, but close. The Alkein Hishmit Bayazu, so therefore the Rambam omitted it. He didn't believe that this was going to be relevant. That's the Merkeves HaMishnah's comment. And he says, Gam tirutzei no muvan. I don't really get that. Sherei meha Yerushalmi mashma shasafek hu ekroni. The Yerushalmi doesn't sound like trees are the limit of its discussion. It sounds like a more fundamental issue, right? Yeah, ha'im hudgash hadagesh b'shvi is hu al sadeh o al eretz. It's about Shemitah at large being about the field and not the house, or eretz, including everything. U'mashizki rabbi yanai ilan shnitah v'soch habayis zeh rak mishum shu dan ba'arla shenu hagas al b'ilanos. The only reason he mentioned trees is because he wants to have an arla discussion. This is the Yerushalmi Masechas Arla, not the Masechas Shvi'is. So...
So what? So it's Darabana.
And I don't want to
talk about it because it's Darabana.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I looked at the Merkeves HaMishnah and didn't follow that.
Why does he have to say that it's talking about Isser Netiyah there? Because with Orla, we're saying, is it Chayav and Orla? It's what's happening after the Netiyah. So why wouldn't that also carry over for Shvi'is? It's Usher to plant it, but also everything that it carries through afterwards.
You could. I mean, once you say that, then it would carry through.
Once you say that Netiyah is Usher.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then everything else will be just like, you know, we discussed Paris from things you guarded and so on, so Paris from things that you worked inappropriately. L'chora, so he gives this novel approach that, again, I haven't seen others suggest. He said, L'chora, kiven shasafek humitoch mashma'ut ha-psukim. Since the safek is about what the psukim seem to indicate, efshar hayalomer shahalavim b'shvi'is, lo sizra, lo sizmor, lo sigtzor, lo sivtzor, right? Namu rak al sadeh. Because, in fact, that's the way it's worded in the Torah, right? Sad chalos yizra, right? Karma chalos yizmor. Your bias isn't a kerem. Avo mitzvahs ha'asei of v'shavsa ha'aretz. Well, that's aretz. Namra gamal abayis. That'll apply to the house. Alpijin Sadeh, Shari Hamila Eretz, Kalalas is Kolaretz. The Hainu Gam Sadeh Begam Bias. Eretz will include that. Vilu Amila Sadcha, Memaetes Bias. Right? Field will exclude house. Shu Eno Sadeh. Vavshein Bazetam, he acknowledges, I have no real reason why this should be true. That your mitzvos asay will apply in the house, and your mitzvos asay won't. Mikomakom Zeo Hageder. That does seem to be the distinction. So he has this discussion that maybe Kedusha Shvius will apply to what grows inside the house, just that the Los Ases won't apply. But like I said, I haven't seen that elsewhere. But generally speaking, the approach that the poskim take to the Yerushalmi is framed very much by a comment by the Parat HaShulchan in Source Gimel. Parat HaShulchan, discussing this Yerushalmi, as I added in brackets in the beginning, HaYerushalmi Nishar Besafik. The Yerushalmi is not sure. Dichsiv Shavsarat Shabbas Lashem on the one end, Dichsiv Sad Chalos is Rav Chama Chalos is more. It says Sadeh. Mashma, I added in the rock, Begalui. Right? It sounds like specifically if you're planting out in the open, that's when you're going to be Chayav. Vinishar Babaya, and it remains as a question. Ulakaman Beirardi de Rabbeinu Vahachronim Hichriu de Shvias Bismanazed de Rabbanon. He says further along in my Sefer Pas HaShulchan, you will see that we conclude the Shvitas Rabbeinu, Ulafiza Habaya Lakula. So then the rule is going to be Lahakel. Right? So the Pat HaShulchan says, since Yerushalmi doesn't know, we can be Mekel in the case of planting in a house. So writes the Pas HaShulchan, and the Chazon Ish has some doubts in Source Dalet. This is actually a good subject for a broader shir, but I wasn't going to bring it in here. Look at what he says. V'ikar ha'yisod shal Pas HaShulchan ezzah Lahakel v'sveka ledidan eino mukhra. The idea that Pas HaShulchan has that we should be lenient since we're not sure and it's a derabanan, right? That's not so clear. Why? The essential suffix is not really on a derabanan. The essential suffix is about the deoraisa law. Vazlin and lachumra, and therefore you should be strict. Mela gamla didan azlin and lachumra, so we should be strict as well. Sorry?
It's like a suffix idea type thing? Or?
Well, no, but it's a suffix in terms of Shemitah's biblical application. Right? In other words, my question first has to be, where did Shemitah apply Midi'oraisa? Once I've answered that question, then I can say, so the Rabbanan made their gzeros, in whatever case they made it. But it's not doubt about a Dirabbanan. Like, if I had a doubt, is this a house, or is it not a house? And then I had to apply it to Shemitah Bizman Hazeh, which is a Dirabbanan, so I would go Lahakel. But that's not what this is. This is a doubt about where the law of Shemitah applies. And therefore, he says, D'oraisa. I thought that was a really interesting point. I saw someone, I forget which article I saw it in, but if you're interested in following up, I'll find it for you, who quoted a Sechemet to go further with this question of suffix on what was originally a D'oraisa, because it's going to be relevant again in about 3 seconds.
Even though now we're saying it's D'rabbanan, he's saying since that suffix in its original form is a D'oraisa.
Yeah. So this Yerushalmi obviously is the key source regarding Shemitah in a house, but there's another source that is brought into play on this, and that is the Meiser model. The Rambam in Source Hay, Hilchos Meiser Aleph Yud, says the following: Ilan Shnitel Besocha Bayis Pater Mi Meisros. Tree planted in a house is exempt from Meiser, and we know that of course from the Yerushalmi. Shnemar Aser Taser is called Vazarecha Yotzei Asadeh, because it's that which is from the field. But the Rambam writes, it appears to me, Shu Chayav b'Meisros midivrehem. There's still a derabanan for Meiser. Sharei te'ena ha'omedes b'chatzer chayav la'aseh perosah im ha'safan ke'achas. Because if you have a fig tree standing in your yard, which is also not a sadeh, you're obligated to tithe its peros if you gather them all at once. You would be obligated to tithe them if you gathered them all at once. That's the idea. So
what's the proof from Te'ena? What's the case there?
So it's a Te'ena and a Chatzer. The Te'ena is sitting in a yard. And just like over there, you do have a chiyuv to tithe everything if you gather it all at once. So to here, we should say that for Shemitah, we're going to extrapolate from this and say that you should be chayav in, even if the conclusion of the Yerushalmi is a suffik, and therefore we're going to go lahakel, where lahakel there are in terms of meiser, and yet meiser, he says, is a derabanan. So Shemitah should be a derabanan.
And chater,
Right, so I'm cheating a little bit here. There's a whole side discussion that I saw, and I can't remember where I saw it as I was preparing, and last night when I was getting this all together, I couldn't find where I had seen it. But there's a whole side discussion, two different ways to explain what imasafan ke'achas and what this whole discussion is the issue that it was not roa p'nei habayis, the tvua, since it's in the chatzer and it's already there, therefore you didn't bring it in the normal way, but if you gather it all at once, you're chayav anyway. I seem to remember seeing it in a chazon ish, but I couldn't find it last night. Or was it simply that chatzer isn't your sada, and therefore you're not chayav? I think I saw it in a chazon ish, but I didn't find it last night when I was putting this whole thing together, and it didn't have practical relevance for us, you know, because it's not our point, but there is such a discussion. You know, maybe it was the Chazon Ish and Maaseros. Could be it was the Chazon Ish and Maaseros that I saw it in. Okay. So the Chazon Ish, based on that, says that maybe we should be strict. The Chazon Ish writes in Chav Beis Aleph, its source Vav, Yesh Letzadei Chesh Sfek Sfek Alahachmir. We should have a double suffix to be strict, meaning we have two reasons for stringency. Number one, Dilma Keharambam Di Isura Derabananika, right? Taking the Rambam from Maaseros, we should say there's a Derabanan for Shemitah too. V'imtim Talomar Keharayvet, and even if you follow the Rayvet, who in Hechlas Maaseros says the Rambam is incorrect, that in fact there is no Derabanan, there is no Isura Derabanan there. Dilma bisman habayis. I added the word haya because otherwise you had a bias twice. Dilma bisman habayis, bias deoraisa, vahashta derabanan. Maybe in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, planting in the house would in fact have been a deoraisa, and now it's a derabanan. Usvek sveka lahachmir, but derabanan machmirinan, and therefore we would be machmir since we have two reasons for safek, even though it's a derabanan. That's the Chazon Ish's doubt that he has there. Nonetheless, the Chazon Ish says, in the end, we don't extrapolate necessarily from Maaser to Shemitah. If you take a look at source Zion, Ein Lilmod Shvias Mi Maaser. Why? The Eshardi Kilu Chachamim B'Shvias B'Shum Chayei Nefesh. Because Shemitah, the Rabbanim, might have said, yes, we created a Gzeira for Maaser, because it's not a big deal telling you to separate Maaser. Right? Certainly post-Ezra. Whereas if you're dealing with Shemitah, that's Chayei Nefesh. We're not necessarily going to tell you that you can't plant indoors. That's number one. Number two, Shlomo Zalman in Madani Eretz quotes the Nechba B'Kesef, which is Chuvos Reb Yonah Navon from a couple of hundred years ago. You can find it on Hebrew books, but it's a bad manuscript, and unfortunately the Otzer Chachma is working with the same bad manuscript, so it's not an easy read. But the Nechva B'Kesef wanted in fact to say, well, you'll see it right here, he's going to extrapolate from Maaser towards Shemitah. He says in Source Ches, B'shut Nechva B'Kesef, Rabbi Yonah Navon, Chilakav Yerodei Simin Hei, as well as Sdei Ha'aretz, which I didn't look at, maybe there would have been clearer, they said, indeed, you should not be allowed to plant in such a pot in Shemitah. Now, he's dealing with Atzit Shein Onaku, he's dealing with pots, he's not dealing with inside a house. But the reason is the connection, this bridge to Maaser. And in truth, we find such a thing in the laws of Kilayim, that if you're planting in a pot that has no hole in it, nonetheless, we're going to prohibit because of pots that do have holes in them. But then he says the point that's relevant for us, we do not compare gzeros and say, well, they made a gzera in this case, therefore they're going to make a gzera in that case. He says, look, they didn't always say all the laws of pots with holes in them apply to pots that don't have holes in them. They didn't always make that extension. So to here, we're not always going to make the extension from Maaser to Shemitah. So therefore, the Maaser model may not actually teach that there's a derabanan here. To say you're chayav, midrabanan. I don't need Maaser to say you're potter, right? The Gemara ended up with a safek, as we understand Sricha in the Gemara. So the Gemara didn't say. So either the Gemara is saying we're going to conclude to be strict, right? In which case, it has Meiser doesn't have any bearing, because Meiser the Gemara said Potter. Or the conclusion of the Gemara is that we don't know. In which case, we'll say, well, if Meiser was actually Lahakel, and yet we said Usser, certainly Shemitah is going to be, we want to say is going to be so. But now we're saying you can't necessarily learn from there. So again, what we've said is the Yerushalmi leaves it open, seems to leave it open. The Pas HaShulchan says, and since Shemitah faith, the Rabbanan, we are lenient. The Chazanish has doubts. The Meiser model, in which the Rambam says you have a derabanan, they may teach us for our case. The Chazanish even strengthened it before the Chazanish walked it back. And indeed, extrapolating from saying they made a gzera for Meiser to Shemitah is not necessarily an ironclad method. So one last Gemara we need to see on this is a Mishnah that you're already familiar with. This was we discussed this Mishnah when we were talking about caring for trees. It is Beis Dalet in Shemitah. It's source Tess. Mizaminus Hanetios, right? You're allowed to put the gunk on the trees, the saplings, the korchanosan, and to bind them if they have these wounds on them, these injuries to them. The kodmanosan, the osin lahem batim. You're allowed to make batim, houses for them. Umashkinosan, and you can water them. All ad Rosh Hashanah, only until Rosh Hashanah. During Shemitah, you are not allowed to make houses for them. So Josh asked me at the time, right, when we did this in the previous year, what does batim mean? Is that like an enclosure? And I said, no, it's not. It's you put a fence around it and you fill it in. So that becomes relevant now. Because if you're going to say that you're allowed to plant in a house, and batim are real batim, what's wrong with making it during Shemitah? Why are you only telling me I'm allowed to do it until Rosh Hashanah? So the Chazanish says, because it's not a house, in source Yud. V'hadis nan b'shviyas beiz dalet v'osim lem batim, I added in brackets, only until Rosh Hashanah. Eino inyan l'notayim abayis, there's nothing to do with planting in a house. Why? And here he says things that are important for a definition of a house as well. Da'asam ha'gag mitzad ha'ilan. There, the roof is actually next to the tree. It's not a roof over it, but it's actually angled off to the side. Because remember, we said the idea is to shield the base. That's really what you're trying to do. Oh, alternatively, sheyesh begag chalonos ba'alachson, that the roof has windows on an angle. Shemegin bifnei hachama, because what this is for is actually to keep the sun off of the tender young tree. Doesn't want to dry it out. Ve'eno megim bifnei hageshama bifnei hatal v'ha'avir, but it does not keep out the rain. It doesn't keep out the dew. It doesn't keep out the wind.
How is it working exactly?
You have, let's say you have an area in which you're going to get direct sun overhead in the middle of the day, right? And that's really the bulk and the hottest part of the day. So you want to shield it during that time. So you have a little canopy that's over it, but off to the side you have windows in it, holes in it, such that the sun can come in at other times, and more important, the rain is going to come in. You don't want to shield it from the rain. So the Chazanish's point is that doesn't qualify as a house. He says, Vahasam, well, his first point is it isn't keeping everything out. Then he says something else, which is going to be important for us next week. He says, Vahasam habayis lehitiv hagidul. There, the house is actually helping the thing grow. Aval noteya habayis, when you plant in a house, hatsmachim him b'matzav bilti tov v'ratzui. They're in a very bad position, the plants. Right? Because they don't have the benefit of rain, dew, wind, the rays of the sun. The house is actually a bad thing for them, right? You remember the word nefach lehem leroeitz from the Gemara. This would be a terrible thing for them. So therefore, the Chazanish has really given us two different definitions of houses in this line, right? One definition is, a house is something that blocks the elements, and not only blocking the sun, but blocking the rain and the wind also, and the dew. Let's not forget the dew. The second definition, though, is that the house is bad for the growth of the plant.
They're very subjective.
Well, aside from being subjective, they're conflicting. Because what if I build a greenhouse?
Right?
And that's actually the way I prefer to grow things, not just during Shemitah, but all through the cycle. Right? I live in Toronto, where there is no growing season. So I'm going to plant my things in greenhouses all forever. Well, then I don't have a Shemitah issue. Fine. But the point is, if I take his first definition, right, it's blocking everything out. If I take a second definition, it's good for the plant. So that's something we have to talk about, is the application to the modern greenhouse. But in terms of the point that's directly relevant for where we are right now, the Chazon Ish says, don't draw me any proofs from the Osin Lahem Batim, where we say you're only allowed to do it until Rosh Hashanah. The answer is that's not a house. That's a completely separate thing, and it's meant to improve the tree, and that's why you're not allowed to do it during Shemitah. The house that we're talking about, that you will be allowed to work with during Shemitah, is a bad house. Got it? Or a complete house, depending on which half of the Chazon Ish I work with. Got it? Okay. So that's our first part, is we have the possibility, certainly of the Pas HaShulchan, and the Chazon Ish giving him some support, even as he also gives him a hard time, to say that planting indoors at least is only Asur Midrabanan and maybe entirely Mutar. Second point is planting in a medium that is separate from the ground. And I keep going back and forth between planting in a medium that's separate from the ground or planting in a receptacle that's separate from the ground. I really mean planting in a medium that is separated from the ground by being in a receptacle. But let's say, for example, you had a receptacle that was glued to the ground. That doesn't change anything for our purposes. So that's our question. If you're dealing with a pot that has a hole in it, so everybody takes it as a given that that's a problem, because in various areas of halacha, we talk about pots that have holes, right? Atzitz nakuv, such that the roots are able to go through and it's considered part of the ground. And the Bris Olam, Rav Binyamin Zilber writes in Bris Olam, Shvius, Aleph Kuchav Zayin, it doesn't matter what material your pot is made of. Your pot can be made of metal. It doesn't make a difference. If it has a hole in it and the roots can go through, it's considered connected to the ground. The question is Atzitz she'en onakuv, where it's an unpierced pot.
Yeah, the material will make a difference there.
The material may make a difference. Well, that's one of the questions we have to address. So the Yerushalmi in Chala Perek Beis says, and we're going to come back to this Yerushalmi, regarding a boat. Did I bring it here? No, I didn't. Okay, yeah, we're going to come back to it later. But the Yerushalmi is going to say, regarding a boat that is not touching the ground, right? So it's an unpierced pot separated from the ground, that if something is growing in that boat, it's chayiv and meiser. But it doesn't say anything about Shemitah. So what do we have? We have Yerushalmi in Demai. And when I said before that Sricha is explained in two different ways, I might actually be thinking about the suffix thing that's in this Yerushalmi in Source Yid Aleph, that it's explained in two different ways. Rabbi Bun Bar Chia, B'Shem Rabbi Ze'era, who is of course Rabbi Ze'era, says the following. Atzitz asu oso safek. The status of a pot is safek. Vatanenan, but I have a Mishnah that says, Atzitz nakuv mekadesh pekerim v'sheino nakuv eino mekadesh pekerim. When it comes to kilayim in a vineyard, it says explicitly that the Atzitz sheino nakuv does not create kilayim. So it's not considered part of the ground. To which the Gemara answers in characteristic Yerushalmi brevity, be safek. Which, if you asked me to translate that line without the benefit of commentary and discussion, I would say it means it's eino mekadesh bekerem because it's not really considered part of the ground. Well, no, I wouldn't be able to explain it that way. Never mind what I was going to say. It says misafik. So the Chazon Ish tackles this and explains what it means in Source Yud Beis. And you see, we're using a lot of Chazon Ish because he's the one who really pioneers this conversation. Other than the Pas HaShulchan, no one seems terribly interested in discussing planting inside houses until the modern era. But in Source Yud Beis, the Chazon Ish writes, V'esher delogar sinan misafek ve'in kan kushya. He says, it could be we don't have the word misafek. And there's no question that's being asked. Ela mefaresh de'oso asu safek. He says, what the Rishali is saying is that atzitz asu oso safek, like he said in the opening line, they consider the atzitz to be doubt, but really, letter of the law, it is actually potter. It's not v'hatanenon, oh no, what do I do? It's atzitz asu oso safek as seen in the fact that we say it's not mekadesh bekerem. Minadin, it's potter. Umaisi raya mehada in a makadesh. For the fact that it doesn't create kiliak harem. Vimaya safek, I am makadesh. I dropped the word from the end. Ulafiza lo shamanu mikan. Dibachol ha'tarim mechazkin lega safek midirabanan. So therefore, we will not extrapolate from here to say it's a safek dirabanan in general. Varechazinan dehikilush in a makadesh. As we see that they're lenient regarding kiliak harem. You follow? That it's not makadesh. So the Chazanish's read is that when you plant in an unpierced pot, you have no problems. That's the idea. But the Chachamim were the ones who came along and said we're going to treat it as a suffix in general. The Radvaz seems to disagree. The Radvaz writes on Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel Aleph Vav. Well, first the Rambam himself in Source Yud Gimel. The Rambam writes, "Vein bodkin es hazrim ba'atzitz malei afar." You are not allowed to test seeds, and the idea there is you put the seeds in for a brief period of time to see if they sprout, if they germinate, and then you take them out. So you're not supposed to test seeds in a pot malei afar filled with dirt during Shemitah. Ava bodkin osan ba'atzitz malei galalim. But you may, in a pot that is filled with galalim. Galalim is manure. But it's actually, this part of the discussion we have to get to is the question of whether it means specifically manure in its, so to speak, original form, or even if it's ground up into a fine powder, which is more like a planting medium. So that's one of the discussions we have to have. In general, when we get to the discussion about legitimate planting mediums, we'll talk about hydroponics and so on. But right now, the point in this Rambam is you're not supposed to test them in a pot if it's filled with dirt. You may in a pot that's filled with galalim. So in this, the Radvaz writes, Uboi tarti. You require two elements in order to be permitted. Ba'atzitz malei galalim. It has to be a pot. And it has to be, by which he means an unpierced pot, he means an atzishinonakov. And it has to not have dirt in it, but instead have galalim in it. Those are the two requirements in order for this to be permitted. Aval galalim bekarka, but in the event that it's galalim, but it's in the ground, so you dug a hole in the ground, and you filled it with galalim, and you put your seeds in that. Oh, afar ba'atitz, or if you're using earth in a pot, which is, as I added, there shen anakuv, lo, it would not be permitted. So according to Radvaz, planting in an atzit she'en onakuv is asur. In Shemitah, at least, as a midirabanan. Even though you're just testing the seeds. On which the Chazon Ish writes, when he quotes it very tersely in Source Tezvah, Ha'ol ein lanu makor lezeh b'gemara. I don't know where he got that from. We have no basis for saying that. See no evil, hear no evil. So, the position of Chazon Ish is that if it's a receptacle separated from the ground, it's actually mutter. The Yerushalmi is not a concern, the Yerushalmi Demai, this Radvaz is not a concern either. And so that brings us to the heter that is offered by the Chazon Ish in Chaf Beis Aleph. I just lost, I was in my notes because I was changing something. So the Chazon Ish in Chaf Beis Aleph offers us the following heter in Source Tes Zayin, combining the peanut butter and chocolate here. He says, Ve'echasha atzitz b'bayis, where it's in a pot, and the pot is in a house. Im tintzalomer dezoreya b'bayis derabanan, even if you'll say that planting in a house is asur mitderabanan, yeshlomer deba'atzitz she'eno nakuv lo gazru. You could say they didn't make the gezerah if it's in an unpierced pot. Kevin degam bezoreya eino ela derabanan, because even if you actually were planting outside, it would only be a derabanan. Since the Pa'as HaShulchan has already said that he's cool with the idea of planting in a house, even if it's not in an atzut, so someone who wanted to be lenient would certainly have room to be lenient in planting in a pot inside a house. That would certainly be acceptable. That's the heter that he offers. Now that's what he writes in Chaf Beis Aleph. But then you take a look at what he writes in Chav Vav Dalet, and he walks it back. Chalila lahakel, atzit she'en onakuv b'chutz. He says, an unpierced pot outside? God forbid, no way. Ukmosha kasavti simen chav beisiv katan Allah, where he had his concerns. V'afilu b'sham ha'taches, and I don't even care if it's a pot made out of metal. If it's outside, it's no good. Destama rehita de'en onakuv kinakuv midirabanan. Because we say rabbinically, that's the way we read it, that that the Einu Nakuv is also like the Nakuv, the unpierced like the pierced. V'chein b'bayis, ein lahakel ba'aretz, and the same thing is true, that if you're planting in a house, meaning under a roof, but you're planting in the ground, it's also not something to do. That's also aser.
What does in the ground mean when it's in the house?
Meaning that you have a roof, and you have walls, but your floor is the dirt floor, and if you go outside, it's the same surface. That's the idea.
So if it's on the second floor and you move dirt there, that's just a big pot.
That's just, well, possibly a big pot. The only reason I'm hesitant is we have to discuss next week one of the challenges they give to the greenhouses is at what point do we say that you're mevatel the bias status because you're planting the entire surface? Mm-hmm. And one distinction they make is, well, if I'm planting on tables in receptacles, that's different from if I was planting the floor. But it's possible to make the argument that if you plant the floor mamish, even if you're on the second floor, it's a sudden, it's just elevated. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm not...
But there's no issue in itself with being Makubar the Karka. I mean, that's not really...
No. Right. Va'af ba'atzit she'eno nakuv b'bayis hadas no telahachmir. And he says, even if it's an unpierced pot, and it's in a house, the truth is, my das is to be strict. Ela mi shesomech ala ba'asa shulchan ba'atzit she'eno nakuv b'bayis ein lanu koach limchos. If you're so mechan, you depend on the Pasah Shulchan, who had his kula regarding Atzit Sheino Nakuv. So, bias. So he says, then I can't protest. You have someone to depend on. Kevin Shein Atzit Sheino Nakuv Mefurish B'Gemara, because after all, there isn't a source in the Gemara for Radvaz on the Atzit Sheino Nakuv. If it doesn't appear as an Isser in the Gemara, then the Poskim generally do combine things to say, we'll be Mekil. So the Chazon Ish sounds much less enthusiastic about the Kula in Chav Vav Dalet, which leads to a nice interesting discussion in the article Shvi'it B'Chamamot by Rav Kalman Kahana, talking about what the Chazon Ish did earlier and what he did later. And which things, it's clear Chav Vav is written after Chav Beis, because in Chav Vav he refers to Chav Beis. So that we do know. But then he comes out with something called Seder Shvi'is later on, not the Seder Shvi'is that we have in Siman Chav Vav, but a separate thing, which has the Chazon Ish being more Mekil again. And then in the article, I didn't reproduce it in there because I was tired of retyping things, but the Chazon Ish wrote an article which appeared in, was reprinted in Moria in Tavshin Lamed Tes, in which he said, yeah, in which he said, Huter lahem atzitz she'eno nakuv tachas hatikra. He said, it is permitted for them, and not only that, Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim acted on the Chazon Ish's counsel to plant with hydroponics.
Under
the roof. Tachas HaTikra, under the roof.
Oh, I would have asked, what's the overhang called?
Tikra. Tikra is the ceiling. Gag is another word, but, yeah.
Okay.
So,
I meant like outside, you know.
Oh, no, not under the overhang. No, that's not what he means.
Okay.
I'll prove it to you in a second, but but he even permitted hydroponics, which is a novelty because the Chazon Ish is strict regarding hydroponics in general. He treats hydroponics like Idulei Karka, which we want to get to next week. So, also, Rav Yosef Efrati, in an article in Halichos Sadeh Peivav, quotes the Chazon Ish's permission for Kibbutz Chavetz Chaim. He says, you may tell me the Chazon Ish didn't like it, but he was telling people mutter. The Halichos Sadeh goes on to poll the later poskim. He says, Shlomo Zalman Orbach permits. Rav Wasner permits, but is a little hesitant because he says he wonders about the spirit of the Chachamim here, where we're going to end up planting all through Shemitah, just doing it in a greenhouse. And Rav Elyashiv actually opposes, because he says this is now Derech Gidul. But, he says, if you sell the greenhouse to someone who isn't Jewish, and the Oraisas are done by a non-Jew, then he'll permit it. That's his tzad. That's what it sounds like. We'll talk about it more, I hope, next week. There's a lot to be said about this whole Derech Gidul piece. But in terms of your question, about planting over the under the overhang, and why he would use the phrase tachas atikra instead of saying in a house. So this goes back to one of the major issues that that is discussed, and that brings us to our next topic. And that is what counts as indoors and what counts as separate from the ground. What do these two things mean? So in terms of the roof, we already saw the Chazon Ish say you need a roof that will keep out the rain, the dew, the sun, the wind, right? From Simen Chaf Siv Vav, right? I also brought you though the Chazon Ish in Maisros Source Yud Ches, where he says the Iker Petur, the essential leniency here, an exemption, is Mishum Schach Hamoneas Hageshem Besatal Besaruch Besashemesh. It is a roof that keeps out rain, dew, wind, and sun. And that is not the natural way to grow things, which you can see now where Rav Yashiv is going to get his discussion about what is derech gidul and what isn't derech gidul. The Chazon Ish uses this odd phrase. What do you do that for? That makes things more difficult. Notice also, they mention keeping the sun out. So that was my comment in the beginning about greenhouses. Greenhouses have a transparent roof. Are you really keeping the sun out? That's not so clear cut. The Bris Olam Rav Zilber in Bris Olam Shvius Aleph Kuf Chav Ches says that their roof has to keep out the rain, as the Chazon Ish wrote. He omits sun and wind. It's very interesting. But in terms of Yisrael Meir's question from before regarding the Tachas Atikra, one of the things they do discuss is they're all opposed to just taking your plants and putting some kind of nylon is their word, but plastic sheet over it. Because they say, well, that's what happens in your field anyway. That people do that normally in their field. If they want to shield it from sun or whatever it is, they'll put a cover on it. That's not different enough. They want the walls. Although, what one needs in terms of the walls is actually a really good question. If you take a look at the Chazon Ish I brought you in, Yates, Vadaz note that the Iker Talui Bekisui. Makes sense to say that it's really about the cover. Maybe you need 10 tefach walls as well. Which, actually, there are some, quoted, and I think it was in Rav Kalman Kahana's article, who wanted to say you could use love wood for your walls. Just run strings, just like it works for Shabbos, so it'll work there too. Rav Yashiv wants real walls. He says they have to be real walls. None of this love stuff.
Okay. We'll have to think about why the reason is, because if the reason is just wasn't one before we just gave was not different enough just to put a cover on.
Yeah. I mean, really, the question is, what do you need walls for? The only reason I could see from needing walls, aside from appearances, is the issue of the wind. If you say the wind, they do, as they write on this, they all seem to take it as a given that wind helps plants grow. Now, the truth of the matter is, in my horticultural experience, there are beneficial elements of wind in terms of the stiffening of the plant. And the plant, the strengthening of the plant. I suppose also in terms of pollination, right, you need the wind to blow the pollen around in order to fertilize, if you have something that's like a tree fruit. Not only with tree fruits, though, with the vine things also, with tomatoes and so on. We need the pollination, so it could be that the wind is helpful in that regard. And we're not talking saprophytes. Right? We're not talking about like bromeliads that grow, get their nourishment somehow from the air. That's not what we're dealing with. So, and maybe the pollination is what does it, but then, if so, then your walls are important because they're impeding something that actually does involve growth, in which case, love doesn't cut it. Right? You actually want to block the wind. The Chazon Ish seems to assume that wind is actually a fundamental part of the growth of a plant. Okay, that's in terms of defining indoors, right? You need a roof, has to keep out these elements, and you need some form of walls, and again, there's some debate, is it 10 tefach, is it the full thing, going all the way up. But the greater debate, the more interesting debate, is regarding the receptacle in which it's planted, and the idea that it should be separate from the ground, and what exactly that means. So the Chazanish makes a general statement. He puts it after his discussion, but I'm putting it here first because it really sounds like a first statement in Source Chav. He writes, Amnam yesh lachkar achar haminhug. We should investigate what the practice is, meaning what counts as a pod. V'im avoseinu noagu bo iser ein kavach lahadir. Right? If there is some kind of pot or planting medium that they prohibited, we can't permit it on the basis of our logic. V'halacha rofefes, the halacha itself is uncertain. We're shaky regarding this. V'halacha achar minhag, so follow whatever the minhag is. So whatever I'm about to tell you, you should know, may be trumped by precedent. The precedent comes from a Gemara in Menachos. That's the key for all of this. It's source Chaf Aleph. Tani Chada, I have one brisa that says, Shebegag v'shebechor v'shebeatzitz v'shebesfina, if you plant something in or on a roof, in a ruin, in a pot, or in a boat, may be v'kore, you bring bikurim and you recite the psukim. It is full-blown bikurim. Okay? V'tani idach, but I have another brisa that says, no, in these four circumstances, maybe you bring bikurim, ve'ein okore, but you don't actually recite the psukim. Now, I'm skipping the Gag and the Churva parts because they're not germane for us. You can look in Menachos Pedala there. But the Gemara has to resolve these two brisos regarding each of these cases. So it says, Atzitza atzitz lokasha. Don't be bothered by the pots issue. Kan v'nekuva, kan v'she'eno nekuva. Depends on whether it has a hole in it or not. If it has a hole in it, then maybe v'kore. It's full bikurim. It's part of the ground. If it does not have a hole in it, then maybe no kare. It's not considered part of the ground, and therefore you will bring the bikurim, but you won't recite the psukim. That's the flow of the Gemara regarding the pot. And then sfina asfina lokasha. The boats are not a problem because kan besfina shel eitz, kan besfina shel cheres. One is talking about a boat made of wood. One is talking about a boat made of clay.
This is not. We're not worried about whether or not it's touching the river bottom or anything like that.
Correct. The whole Gosheshes discussion will figure into things, but not right now and not on this point. The boat distinction is between a boat made of wood or a boat made of clay. Apparently, in one case, it's considered to be the plant growing in it is part of the ground. In one case, it's not. So the question is, which is which? In which one would you assume the plant that's in the boat is part of the ground? Cheres. Right? And that's what Rashi says. Rashi in Source Chav Beis, Bisfina Shel Cheres, Maybe Vikari Mishum Tishal Aretzi. That is of the ground. Rashi's assumption is that the way to read our Gemara here is that Maybe Vikari from a clay boat, Maybe Ve'eno Kore from a wood boat. And therefore, if I wanted to apply that to our discussion, if I have a flower pot that is made out of pottery, then even though there's no hole in it, because we assume our boats don't have holes until we get to the rush, but but what Rashi will say is that's not considered separate from the ground. If you have a terracotta pot, that's not considered separate from the ground. I don't know what he'll do with glazed, actually, glazed pottery. Maybe the glaze does something. Go back to kashering. I don't know. That's Rashi's statement. The Ravid says, no, that's not what's going on. If you take a look at Source Chav Gimel, first the Rambam and then the Rambam writes, Klei galal muklei adama shashrashim yecholim lukoa bahen velatzeis einan machshirin es hazraim. V'avapi she'en nekuvin harein kinekuvin. So he's talking about Tumah there in Hechsher lekabel Tumah. It's a separate discussion. But the rule, remember, is When the Torah tells you that when produce gets wet and then it's exposed to tumah, it becomes tamei. So that's only if it's been separated from the ground. If the produce is still in the ground, it does not become hukshavakabal tumah. It does not become eligible to receive tumah. Otherwise, all your produce would be, because it gets rained on at some point, right? So the Rambam writes that if it's growing in clay galalam, and clay galalam, don't get confused with the planting medium of galalam that we mentioned before. This is a kli made out of petrified stuff. That's what we're talking about. Or a kli made out of earth, the roots are able to break through it and extend beyond it, then nonetheless, it will not be machshir the zrayim. Okay? I'm sorry, because of that, it will not be machshir the zroim. Because the roots can go through, therefore there's no hechsher. The like is planted in the ground, and even if there's no hole, it doesn't matter. Harei kidikuvin.
This is going to be across the board, even if you plant little flowers, and it's for sure not going to be...
What would flowers have to do with anything? In terms of what?
Wait, I'd say something that the Jerashim are not going to be... There's no physical way for them to go out.
Right. He seems to indicate there's no distinction. We're going to talk about that later, but that's what he seems to say. That's the Rambam. So the Ravid comments on this. Asagas HaRavid, Kli Gol and Kli Adama, Amar Avram. Ani Motze, Afilu B'Kli Cheres Gomor, Afo Pi She'eno Menukov, Ke Menukov Dami. Ravid writes, I find that even if you're talking about something that is entirely of pottery, it doesn't have a hole, it is considered like it has a hole. Where's your source? Buhuba Menachos Parakul Kravinos and Tzibur. That's our Gemara, right? The Menachos Pei Daled, where he's first taking it the way that Rashi took it. But then he says, V'ula Yisparei Sham Perish Acher. You know, there's another way to read that Gemara. And that is, as understood by the Mishnah Lamelech, this is the Ravid's preference. De'besfina shel eitz mevi'im misham bikurim. If you're dealing with a wood boat, then you bring bikurim. Why? Mipnei she'yesh ba nekavim l'meshodos, because it has holes for the oars. Ukinetuim ba'aretz damu, and therefore whatever is planted on this boat is as though it's planted in the ground. Avol besfina shel cheres, but if it's a boat of clay, ein derech lasas nekavim l'meshodos, you don't make holes in it for the oars. Shelo tishaver, because it'll crack. Umishimachi ein meviim imana bikurim, and therefore you don't bring bikurim from it. In other words, it has zero to do with your material. It's not about wood. It's not about clay. It's about are there holes in it or not. The Gemara, as the Ravid understands it, played a bait and switch. The Gemara sounded like it was talking about materials and giving me insight into materials. It's not. It's giving me a statement about which boats have holes in them for oars and which ones do not. That's the rule regarding the way that boats are made. Don't you know?
Well, yeah, is there any precedent for staying?
I never heard of a boat made of clay in the first place.
Okay.
I don't know what he's talking about. The idea of making boats out of clay is novel to me.
The only reason that works better, and I feel like I remember this maybe at the time of learning this, is because in terms of being parallel, because Kanva Nekuva, Kanva She'eno Nekuva, because the first case is maybe Bikore.
Yeah.
Because it's maybe Nekore. So Kanva Nekuva, Nekuva is going to be Bikore, Kanva She'eno Nekuva. Then it says Kanva She'eno Shel Eitz.
Right.
Kanva She'eno Shel Cheres.
Right.
So if you're taking that parallel, you have to find a way to say the She'eno Shel Eitz when you're maybe Bikore.
Right. And that's true. From that perspective, it would work. However, if your previous lines had Kamba Nekuva, Kamba Shea Nekuva, you could have just done that here.
No, not enough, but right. It's almost not adding a new principle at that point.
Yeah.
But it's keeping, I think the one advantage, or maybe that's, you know, is the fact that it keeps that parallel.
Right. Right. So the truth is, you have support for this idea from the Rash, writing on a Mishnah in Challah. This is the Mishnah in Challah I referred you to before. Afar chutzal la'aretz sheva besfina, when dirt from outside of Eretz Yisrael comes by boat la'aretz, chayev b'maisros u'b'shvias. You have to tithe it, and you have to separate. You have to tithe it, and the laws of Shemitah apply to this dirt that's in the boat. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, emasai? Rabbi Yehuda says, when is this true? V'zman she'asfina gosheshes. In the event that the boat is actually touching the river bottom. So the Rash, commenting on that, says, Vizaro besfina, you planted in the boat. Vitzamach, and it grew. Ubinikuva mairi, and we're talking about where it has a hole in it. It's not about what the boat is made of, it's about whether the boat has a hole. So that's the position of the Raifid.
So why does it need Goshesha?
Why does
well,
he... No, Goshesha is a separate piece. But that's the second view of what's going on in Menachos, is there's no difference between clay and wood. The difference is hole or no hole. The Rush gives me a third take. And the Rush writes in his Hilchos Arla, which is one of his many collections of halachos, You planted a boat, even though it doesn't have a hole, assuming it is made of pottery, then the laws of Arla apply. The Rishalmi explains why, because clay will not stand before the roots, and they will indeed be mefapeya, remember from Kashrus, right? They'll spread through the clay, and they will drink from the ground. But wood, only if it actually has a hole in it. So the Rush sounds like Rashi, but not quite. Take a look at what the Mishnah LeMelech does to the Rush in Source Chav Zayin. He says, "V'hine harush belchas arla kasav." What we just read. V'anira etzli v'das harush who desvira like kisvaras harayvid shekasav nu. He really agrees with the rayvid. These like the bein shaleitz and bein shalcheres v'yanekiva. That needs a hole, whether it's wood or clay. Ela deshani hava le'nata ilan. But we're talking about a tree, and that goes back to Yisrael Meir's question about the roots, right? Not all roots are the same. So he says the point is it's a tree and therefore it will cut through the clay. But it's only going to happen with clay. But if the boat is made of wood, even if you planted a tree, the roots aren't going through the wood. That's his argument. So the Mishnah Melech's read of the Rush, Mishnah Melech in general has a nice long discussion there. It's worth seeing with the different views on that Gemara Menachos. But the point is, we now have three different explanations for the Gemara in Menachos and its distinction between clay and wood, and it will lead us to different positions regarding the material that I use for the pot. Right? It depends on who I follow. The Maril Diskin, I brought you here in Source Chaches, says you may not plant in Shemitah, and I don't care if it's in the ground, I don't care if it's Avar Sheba Atzitz, and he says, Hein Kli Cheres, and the same thing is true if it's pottery, Vafilu Kli Eitz Achalonos, I don't care if it's a wood Kli sitting on the windowsill. Doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to plant you're not allowed to plant in it. Whether it's in wood or it's in pottery, it's going to be a problem. So who is he following? When he says it's a problem regardless of the material,
how's he following? Meaning,
actually, he's not.
He's not following anybody.
He's not following anybody.
He's just getting most mockers. He's not allowing any situation.
Yeah, I have to go. I need to look back at that Mariel Diskin at some point, because I don't know how to do it this week, but no, I'm missing something in Mariel Diskin. He's not following anybody. But I thought he was. Yeah. But the position of the Chazon Ish, at least we will see, the position taken by the Chazon Ish in Chavtas is Ubein Shal Eitz Bein Shal Cheres Yesh Laka Kedaz Harayved V'Harash Chala Beis Beis V'Harash Helchos Arla, as explained by the Mishnah LeMelech. The Davka Be'ilan Chashim Cheres Kanakum is only with a tree that I treat the clay as being like a pot with a hole. Avalol Israim, but not when we're dealing with seeds. We're dealing with seeds. It's not so. Seeds don't penetrate through it, and therefore he's okay with a plant with a pot of any material. He doesn't care what your material is. The last two sources, I'm not going to read them out because in the interest of time, but you can see it for yourself. When it comes to drainage holes, the Chazon Ish says it can have a small hole for drainage. It just has to be small enough that no root can make it through. Rav Zilber, he says, I don't know. He says, we don't actually know, and just make a small hole for drainage. And Rav Zilber, in his Bris Olam, notes that holes in the side are also a problem. I mentioned that in the beginning. The hole in the side is also an issue. Obviously, if it's above the surface of the earth, you have less of a problem. You're not concerned for roots going up in the air.
It's not going to drain anything either.
It's not going to drain anything either. No, but I'm just saying, like, it's not a phenomenon of a pot. When I said in the beginning, it can't have any holes, and you looked at me funny, because, of course, it always has a hole.
Right.
But
it's always
open.
Big, too.
But the point is, only the holes on the side, anywhere that a root could go through is really where you have this problem. He has an interesting discussion about a pot that's on an extended surface, like a very long table.
I was going to say that, or even there's like pots inside a pot, so the inner pot will have a hole, but the outer pot does not.
Well, that becomes a discussion when we deal with hydroponics.
Right.
So that we have to discuss.
No, the Shaiman shop is also moving plants.
We're going to discuss that also.
Yeah.
Yes, that will come up. The last thing that I brought there was just in terms of the plant, the Chazon Ish said the branches may not extend past the pot. because they have to be separated from the ground. Mm. That's a very interesting idea. But yes, we have to discuss next time the following questions. The planting medium, meaning what's in the pot, manure versus earth, as we already began, hydroponics, as well as the following four questions. Removing the roof from the house during Shemitah, from the place where it's planted. Is it enough that I just plant it in a covered thing, then I can take the top off? Transporting the pot outside. What if you move? Now what do you do? What about the fact that the house is now, and that'll bring the Shabbos discussion also. What about the house becoming a kavua place for planting? Does that convert it into a field? And finally, what about the fact that the house actually improves the planting, a la the Chazon Ish that we saw before? So all of that has to be discussed. Pick up with it, God willing, Friday, assuming that somehow Wednesday, Thursday, I do some work on it.